And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Zachary. It's my co-host, Danny Ford. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, it's almost college football season when you start calling me Danny Ford again. That's how I know. That's how I measure the day.
I can smell it, Dan. I'm really excited for it. I want to kick off with my surprise topic of the week to you. Are you ready for this?
Okay,
sure. This will transcend into our main topic, but I want to talk about this one first. Our old buddy David Meltzer, has he ruined the star rating system? Is it over?
Oh, Dave. Well, I mean, as we all know, he's an extremely popular figure on this network, website. He is the most popular man.
We're big fans of Half-Guarded of David Meltzer.
I will say, I do enjoy one of the few things I still really enjoy about Dave. Is that he still really likes to watch the graph, you know? I mean, he's a nearly 60-year-old man who's very proud of his abs and loves to watch wrestling.
This whole event reminds me.
I hope when I'm 60, I still enjoy shit and I'm not just a miserable, weirdo.
It reminds me of a quote from one of your favorite movies ever, I believe, The Dark Knight. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
You do this every week. You quote that movie just to see, like, when's the week that I snap.
I told you about my... I explained to Dan off air my art of trolling. Slowly, just waiting. It's how I took out that guy that was protesting in New York City. I'm working hard on that one. And that baby. Also, I took out Andrew Breitbart.
You trolled him into his heart
exploding. I wouldn't think that there was a troll that did it, and I want to find that guy and give him a medal. And that's my presidential platform, Dan. Speaking of presidential platform, we get some black guys coming to meet the president. And that's the Golden State Warriors, Dan, because they have won the NBA Finals.
Yep. The thing that everybody pretty much thought would happen did happen. There were no surprises. This was the... one of the least surprising playoff series of all time, I would think.
But I think there was a surprise, Dan, and that was the rating. I think that surprised a lot of people that they were sky high. What, the highest in years, correct? Like what? The Miami LeBron?
They finished third. But you know, the last 3 years the ratings have all been records or near records. So they ended up finishing third, but it's still way above, you know, the ratings for every other series that came before that.
Or even other sports. Like, how did the NHL even do? They weren't even bragging about the ratings. I think I saw the local ratings. That's probably how bad it was.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL has fallen to the point where they're like Indy 500, where, like, they'll tell you, this is when you know officially that you're a worthless sport. When they start talking about the local TV ratings, that means nobody else gave a shit.
How about this, Dan? You're a worthless sport when your trophy is more important than your sport. More people talk about the Stanley Cup than they probably talked about hockey all year.
Sure.
You know? Think about this. Indy 500. Everybody talks about, you know, the trophy and the brick wall, but who really cares about Indy racing?
Nobody outside of the city of Indianapolis. The Indy 500 does, like, a 70 share in Indianapolis. You leave that, and it, like, 12 people watch.
What's another dumb trophy? Even, like, think about the best sports have the worst trophies. Or ones that aren't, like, as spectacular, you know?
Oh, the Vince Lombardi trophy is pretty famous.
Yeah, but it's dumb. I like the World Series trophy. That's the best one. A lot of moving parts in there.
I can't even pick the fly. Is that the circle one?
Float around. This has been Trophy Talk. This is our big announcement here, Dan. It's the podcast where we just talk about trophies.
Okay, now what do you think about those trophies they used to have in All Japan Professional Wrestling? That they used to hand the champion. They'd hand him a title belt, and then they'd hand him a trophy. What do you think about those? That's my new character, Terry Title Lover.
Dan, we need to take a break.
I just love titles.
We need to take a break to our one of our sponsors, and that's Jimmy's.
That guy who makes championship belts, belts by Dave, whatever his name is.
What else would be on a trophy related podcast? What kind of ads would?
Obviously, a guy who sells knives.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Like that show will definitely end up being sponsored by Blades. Blades by Allen.
That might be a new show that comes out soon. Half guarded here. Might be a little trophy. But you know, Dan, this...
The Blades by Allen happy hour.
This segue gets me to a point I saw, like, especially, like, a lot of guys, like, white mid, late 20s, early 30s guys on Twitter complaining about, and that was the NBA writers, because they said that these finals were boring.
Yeah. I mean, they were. Like, one team is much better than the other, but... you know, I don't have a problem with somebody saying this playoffs weren't very entertaining to me. These playoffs weren't very entertaining to me. What I have a problem with is when people try to take their personal preference and what they would like to see and then try to make that into, this is bad for the whole game. No, no. The history of the NBA is that the peaks of its popularity come when you have a super team. That everybody wants to see who can eventually beat it. And that can capture that imagination, capture the imagination of the public, where the public knows every player on the team. You know, you go back to the 80s, and everybody in America knew the names of, like, the entire Lakers, you know, their entire eight-man rotation.
Think about even the 90s.
Everybody
think
knew
about
the entire eight-man rotation of the
Celtics. Think about the Jordan teams, Dan.
Like, people in the 90s knew Luke Longley and Bill Wennington because, you know, that team won so much. So, like, that has been historically when the NBA has been its most popular. And the team that finally does beat them is going to be huge. And we saw it last year. The Cavs beat them. And it was huge. You know, so people's going, oh, my God, the sky is falling. Nothing will ever be interesting. Oh, no, nobody's going to read my articles this offseason because interest is going to be down. I mean, that's not the whole world, though. And, you know, I don't think the NBA and the rest of the teams in the NBA are just going to sit here with their thumb up their butt going, well, I guess none of us can ever win anything again. I get, you know, like, you remember when the Heat first got put together, the super team with the Heat, and everybody thought, oh, my God, this is the end of basketball. Everybody's just going to fall apart. And then it's like, no. After that, every team started figuring out, okay, how can we do something? How can we put something together? How can we put pieces together? Teams are not just going to, like, lay down and die for the Warriors. Like, somebody's going to do something. Something crazy going to happen. I guarantee somebody's going to do something crazy this offseason.
Dan, it brings me back to my everything is wrestling theory. And if you look at what the Warriors are, they're a Great Hill champion. Who's going to stop these guys? I'm going to give you money to watch these baby faces, these good guys come in and stop these big bad boys. That's something that's proven to work every time. In terms of selling tickets and drawing fans. And about in any aspect of entertainment, and that's what the NBA is too. Part of it is entertainment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people are going to want to see who takes down the big bad monster. Yeah. The Golden State Warriors are Big Van Vader, period. End of story.
Well,
everybody wants to see Sting take him down.
I was
going to
say Brock Lesnar. You better.
I'm going for the over 30 crowd. I'm trying to pull in the over 30.
The over 30s and the small segment that watched early 90s WCW, which was about, what, a million people? How many people were they getting a week then, if that?
Hey, they were doing like 3 million people a week on TV.
That's our audience.
Like 12 people were buying the pay-per-views, but they were watching them on TV.
Dan, you mentioned pay-per-view. Something announced yesterday.
I set him up.
Set me up.
You knock him down.
There's something announced yesterday on Twitter that's going to be on pay-per-view very soon. What was that again? Was it some event?
Some kind of niche fight. Some kind of like odd rules sport. I'm not sure. You know,
sort of weird hybrid.
It's called prize fighting. I'm not sure what that is.
I think that's something used to do in the 30s to make money off of PPC. And this thing's going to make a lot of money. We're talking Mayweather-McGregor. And what's that date again, Dan? Is that August?
Oh, it was August 26th.
And,
you're writing that down in your calendar.
I am. And do we...
Go ahead and buying your $8,000 front row seat, which is reportedly what they're going to cost.
And how much is the pay-per-view going to cost? What's it going to cost the working man?
I'm going to make my bet that it's going to be priced. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd was... $100, and everybody said, "Oh my God, you can't!" And then they did more business than anybody in the history of anything. I think this thing is going to end up being priced at 125.
Ooh. Why the five there?
I think they'll go up to 125, and 125 is a yeah. I think they'll just do that instead of going to like 120. Yeah.
I think you could go 150.
I was debating whether they'd go that high. That seems like a
you know where jump. You know where I go higher on this fight to bars. So if you're a bar, I'm going to charge you. What do they charge? Do you know what they charge?
Well, they already do. But the bar price is already high.
Yeah. What is the bar? It's got to be. I would charge $1,000 to a bar.
I thought it was like $1,000 yeah. bucks.
I could. I would. You know. That's where I'd get the money right there. I think it's going to be a fight. You might not see the buys be that big for pay-per-view individually, but you can see a lot of people going to parties or going out to the bar to watch this fight. I think we're going to see a lot of activity that way.
I don't think they'll get to what Manny and Floyd did, because I think there's going to be that freak show element of this that's going to turn some people off. But I think they could end up making more money because I think they're going to charge more. They're either going to charge 125 or 150 and like with pop, and I think they'll do 2.5 to 3 million buys off of that, and they'll end up making more money. Yeah.
And even more, obviously, even more for entertainment, because I think this will be an event. Is what I'm thinking. This will be on the stage. Yeah, I think this is going to be a big day for fighting.
Well, I mean, Floyd and Manny was a huge thing, I don't want to downplay how big that thing was.
No, I think that was a huge thing.
They have a bigger venue now. Yeah. You know, the T-Mobile Center, T-Mobile Center exists now. It didn't exist when Manny and Floyd
But for that fight, I wonder if that fight does hurt this fight, because that fight was such a letdown to a lot of people. And there were, like, a lot of parties and, like, big groups that went to go watch that fight. And it seemed like they...
In a lot of ways, boxing has not recovered from the Floyd-Manny fight as far as business in this country. I mean, boxing still does really well overseas. And that, I mean, that's one thing I appreciate. Like, European sports fans will always, like, dumb Americans will scream about how boxing's dead and MMA rules and boxing drools. And then, like, some dude in England will go, actually, nobody gives a flying crap about UFC here. Like, all we care about is boxing.
Yeah. Well, even, like, in Russia, UFC is not the biggest league over there, correct?
No. I mean, all they care about is whatever Fedor's doing, because he's a national hero. But even Fedor is like way falling down, because he's, you know, I mean, he's old and he's lost a bunch of
fights. I'm intrigued, but like even the reaction with my friends, I'm gonna go the old Bill Simmons route. Wasn't that enthused for this fight? They're not big fight fans, but they're not very excited. Like they might be casual fans for a big time fight.
I wonder if this thing does underperform. I'm not betting on that. I'm not betting on that just because you've got the two biggest stars in combat sport and they're going to fight each other. You know, don't overthink it. But I wonder if like the freak show aspect of this thing will hurt it. You know, because I wonder how many people actually think Conor has any kind of chance.
Well, and how much does the last big fight, like my main point, how much does that really hurt it? And is it just turning a lot of people off? Was it like the bad sequel that everyone saw and was like, I don't like the product? Is that what we kind of got? You know? But I think this fight will be what I want to call like a trickle-down fight, Dan. I think we're going to see, like I said, I think we'll see a lot more people going to bars and going out to watch this fight. I think if you own a business, you're hyped. This is a good money night for you if you're a small business owner.
Yeah. And that is our number one constituency on this show, and always will be. We are a show for the small business owners.
What's the...
By small business owners, for small business owners.
Let's talk now about what's an awful office supply company where the lady's like against vacation days?
Office
Max? No, it's like the Inline. Inline. Huh? It's,
I don't know what it
is. They make like dumb paper shit that you need for an office, and she's like a crazy libertarian. I think she wrote in her company newsletter about how like... I think it was that lunch breaks were stealing from the company, or some sort of horseshit like that.
Well, that's a normal person. That's a person with like sound mental, you know.
You know what that is?
With a sound mental outlook on the world.
That is your typical small business owner.
Sure. Everything that does not directly go into my pocket is theft.
Oh,
that speeding ticket I got for driving 97 in a school zone on my way to work.
Doesn't this guy know that I pay his salary? Me, the owner of several Church of Chicken franchises?
Me personally. He works directly for me.
Oh. But as for this fight, Dan, let's just jump into it. Prediction. Let's not even preview it. Just blind guess.
I mean, I'm going to be... I mean, the odds I saw out today, I think, plus 200 on a Floyd Mayweather knockout, and I am so taking that money. I'm so putting
my
money
not touching in. That. I got a hot take.
Well, because the odds aren't as good of like Floyd. I mean, the odds of Floyd winning by any means are so bad for a bet that it's
that's
not even
why
worth
you go,
the money.
That's why you go for the smart bet, Dan. And that bet is that Conor McGregor knocks out Floyd Mayweather in the fourth round. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
That's insane.
Nothing makes any sense in 2017 anymore. I think I saw this theory.
Well, no, the
first floated by Felix Betterman on Twitter, and I like it. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes sense.
Well, the bet to make is you go Floyd to knock him out because that's the one that's going to pay out the best. Of any Floyd victory, because like Floyd winning on points, well, I mean, most people think that's what's going to happen because people don't think
Dan
Floyd has the power to put anybody away.
I saw Dan, we're friend of the show, Todd Martin, said on Twitter that he thought the fight could go the distance. What a hot take.
Yeah, that's what everybody thinks, Todd, you fucking zilch. God.
This is the podcast that gets popping in trouble.
There's nobody. Okay, I mean, I know the guy's not popular on this website, so we're kind of like, you know, punching down at the baby. But there's nobody in the history of punditry on sports who has ever made more banal, yeah, obviously, fuckboy comments than that
no,
gentleman.
You see, Dan, I see a guy like Todd Martin, like, and I see him have success. You know what it makes me think? Fuck, I could have success. I'm 10 times smarter than that guy. He's a guy that
brings
your
parents aren't rich. He's
an inspirational figure.
No, he's just a rich kid. Oh, like that bums me out.
Yeah.
Like he's just some rich fuck.
Oh, that's even worse.
With no skills at anything. He's a bad lawyer. He's not a good columnist. He's not a good pundit. Like he's a oafer. He can't see his own feet. Like he is an oafer on life.
Oh boy. He is really good at making bad takes. He made a couple in his heyday, Dan.
I mean, have you seen that picture when Dave Meltzer went into some kind of wrestling hall of fame and Todd showed up? And Todd's sitting there with a hot dog in an ill-fitting suit and his fucking hair's... like he's one of those guys who's going bald and he tries to compensate by fluffing his hair up and like giving it all this insane volume. And it's like, oh, you won't notice that I'm completely bald in the front because I've made my hair, you know, 27 inches tall.
You know what? You know what, Dan? You know, we usually make promises to the show that we do not keep ever. Next week, we're gonna do a little reading. Getting shoved into a little Todd bar next week on the show. I think but no, that really tells you a lot about the person, Dan. When the suit's still fitting and they're not like John Cena, who just doesn't make sense. Like, of course, this suit doesn't fit. He's huge. How do you have a suit that doesn't fit in 2017? Mansour's would literally tailor your suit for like $100. And you said he's a rich kid, apparently. There's no excuse.
Like, they don't have as much business as they used to. Like they will do it. Like, it's not... You know.
And it's not that hard. It's like a second of like...
Classic.
A second of some guy who doesn't want to be touching you, man. It's okay. You know, he's the example of why people hate millennials. I don't know if Todd Martin's a millennial, but he is now.
Todd Martin's not a millennial. Don't put that fucking sin on
him. I don't know if he is. How old is he?
He's a Generation X turd. That guy's like 40.
You remember? I did like his review.
He's one of those guys who talks fondly about how fun it was to go to ECW shows and chant, "She's a crack whore." Like, as if that was like the height of human civilization.
But Dan, you remember
when we were allowed? Oh my god, this is bringing up my favorite Todd Martin fucking madness. Is when this guy, this fucking zilch, this childless zilch, said that it was his right to go to a WWE show, already a thing for kids, a thing intended for children, and chant fuck over and over and over again. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. At John Cena, of all people. And then when people rightly told him, hey, there's, like, people with kids there. Like, they shouldn't bring their kids. This is an adult entertainment. It's like, what? No, it's wrestling, you doofus. And he just kept doubling down and getting dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber.
And I think the worst part is, this is...
Yeah. Which I know that's going to shock you about a Todd Martin argument. But he said something really stupid. But kind of you could back out of, and then instead of backing out,
doubles down.
Just Thelma and Louise'd it over the fucking cliff.
Much like my girl Joan Walsh.
Look, Joan Walsh is the Todd Martin of political punditry.
How do you have a suit that doesn't fit? I'm just still bothered by this, dude. I don't, like, you could even just rent a tux. You can rent one and they'll make one fit.
Well, I mean, you get up high enough on that scale and nothing really's gonna look too good on you.
I just don't, it's 2017. You think we have the technology now to make MMA pundits.
To hold people.
But this is an issue.
Why hasn't male Spanx gotten better?
This is an issue with a lot of MMA journalism, Dan. They're just on. This is a shocker. They're not the most dapper guys. You know, you see like some NBA journalists.
There's no couth. Yeah. There's not enough couth in MMA journalism.
Well, I think the shame is though, if they got dressed up, they'd all be wearing fedoras. And that's like, well, maybe you'd rather them be sloppy.
I mean, how many MMA writers are still trying to keep those affliction shirts a thing? That's what I worry about.
How? God, I hate MMA writers. This show is now just us picking on the MMA media.
Hey. There's some MMA writers who are really good and high quality men and very sensible thinkers and probably have other jobs that they're very good at too.
No, when I say MMA writers, I mean not the cool ones. I think we know who's cool. If you know who's cool, you know what I'm talking about. But the rest are dorks. And we're talking about Tomas Rios, my boy, one of my favorite MMA writers,
Well, obviously, my favorite MMA writer is Felix Biederman, a literal autistic man.
And my second favorite MMA writer, Todd Martin. So I'm really excited to jump into some.
Well, sure, I gotta have something to get mad at every day.
I think, but Dan, the reason
he used to write in the LA Times.
If you, this is going off the rails. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people. Let's break kayfabe, Dan. I pulled my back. I'm gimmicked up, really trying to pull through the show like a champion, Dan. But you know, sometimes it's hard.
This is your flu.
This is the flu.
I love when everybody compares. I love when everybody compares some great feat in sports to a guy playing a game with the sniffles. Oh, he had a fever. Fucking dude.
What a man.
Fucking Jack Youngblood played in a Super Bowl on a broken leg. Fuck off. Oh, you had the flu. Oh, you got drunk too much the night before a finals game. Oh, heavens. Oh, Jesus. Because that's the other thing. Nobody ever really gets the flu.
You don't get the flu when you're an athlete.
Think about it.
You shouldn't have the flu.
Nobody gets the flu in May anyway. Like, who gets the flu in the spring and the summer? You get the flu in the fall.
He had the flu because he probably got fucking drugged up and held over a bridge or something. One would imagine with Jordan.
He was hungover. Like, yeah, flu-like symptoms. Yeah, I'm hungover. I drank too much last night.
But, Dan, I want to jump back to this fight for a second. Because I have my prediction. I think I was getting into it for a bit of a rant about Todd Martin. Which I'm really excited to pick on in the future on the show. I'm glad I remembered him. He exists. And my big prediction, though, I'm taking Conor to win. It doesn't make sense, but I think maybe he learned something from the Diaz fight.
I don't know if that's really applicable to Floyd Mayweather.
I think he did. He took a beating. I don't think Mayweather's taken a beating in a while. And I think McGregor's going to win. And he's going to prove that the Irish people are the best fighters in the land, genetically.
Well, sure. Their skull shapes tell you that. That's the other thing. This podcast has to get back to our racial science. You know, we were the number one podcast for racial science.
Clay Travis took.
Yeah, and Clay Travis beat us to the punch, the bastard. But I just, I would say if you're a betting man, you know, you pick Floyd to win by knockout, and then you also hedge that by, you know, well, maybe, you know, you don't have to put a lot of money on Conor to win if he wins at all. And you know what? You might as well put it on winning by knockout, because it's the only way Conor's going to win. Like, Conor's not winning a decision. So, you know, throw some money over there on to hedge your bet, and you'll probably come out ahead.
And it'd be kind of cool, but Floyd Mayweather get knocked out by Conor McGregor. I mean, Floyd Mayweather, I want to see Floyd Mayweather get knocked out.
If Conor's
a piece of shit, you know, he's not a good person.
Funny as hell. Like, that is the one thing you cannot deny. It would be super funny if the one in 49-1 was a fucking Irish MMA guy who's never boxed. I mean, that would never stop.
No, and you know what it also would do? It would ignite some of the greatest trolling ever on MMA forums and boxing people.
Oh, my God. Like boxing Twitter would just have to shut down in disgrace.
Who's that guy, Bert Sugarman or whatever? The guy with the hat? He'd just hang himself.
Bert Sugar, the author of the worst book about pro wrestling in the history of pro wrestling.
God, Keith.
Now, Bert Sugar's book was worse. Oh,
which reminds me of our friend Todd Martin. You remember when Todd went off on the rant about one of Scott Key's reviews of The Undertaker and took it, like, very personally? Doesn't it say something interesting about him that he gets really mad about that, but thinks it's okay to yell fuck you in front of children?
What was he mad? Why was he mad at The Undertaker?
No, he was mad at Scott Keith because Scott Keith insulted The Undertaker and told him he should retire in one of his reviews or something. And then, like, Todd Martin ripped him apart on, like, the old Observer website in a book review. And people used to post it.
Sure, because, you know, Undertaker retiring means Todd's a little bit closer to death.
No, it wasn't that. It was, yeah, I don't know. It was dumb. I'll find it one day and send it to you. But he got, like, very angry. It'd be an XM column to go through. And watch a man get mad about wrestling. The dork.
Jesus. Like, Todd Martin. Holy
shit. This show's now about bashing Todd Martin. We're going to get sued by Todd Martin. And Clay Travis.
No. That's the one thing we don't have to worry about. Because you got to be like a competent lawyer to sue somebody.
What if...
Like you have to...
You remember when he left F4W?
You have to know what you're doing.
Remember when he left his old website to go to wherever he is now, the Torch or whatever? And he like didn't thank Brian Alvarez in Twitter, like the pettiest, girliest thing ever. Like he publicly thanked other people, but not the one person that like got him a start. Because like he was mad at him about an internet.
Well, Dave's the one. Dave's the one who got him on.
Alvarez had him on the show.
That was a favor to Dave, but that was a favor to Dave.
Regardless,
like that's why their shows were always awful, because it's a guy who doesn't want to do the show with a guy who desperately wants to, but is having to work with a guy who doesn't really want to do the show with
him. I think Todd Martin also turned me off from, like, a lot of pro wrestling pundits, too, because how many people actually like him, which I don't get. I don't get it. I just don't get why you would like that person. Sorry.
Because I understand the appeal. Like, you're a surly 30-something who's mad that the wrestling doesn't appeal to you because when you fell in love with it, you were a kid. And you don't want to admit that this is kid bullshit. So you just get mad at everything for not being geared towards you.
And then you try to 30. Then you try to turn MMA into that. It's just, I don't know. I'm just disappointed then.
What it is.
But that tells you a lot of how hyped we are for this fight. And we're claiming this fight, Dan. I'm claiming McGregor and Mayweather for the power. Where else will you get this kind of preview and coverage? Huh? You can have Coughlin tell you about fighting and stance and stamina and technique and horseshit.
I'll make this hot take. If Connor don't win in the first round, he's fucked. But if he might get him in the first round, that's gonna be
McGregor
the
knockout.
Get him
in that
first round. Yep. Nah. If he don't get him in the first,
gonna get him in the fourth. Mayweather gets cocky, dances. Does some sort of juck it and shive it, and then McGregor just punches them.
Well, he doesn't do that.
The white collar.
Like, I mean, Connor's best hope is that when he Aldo's him, that he just catches him walking in the first 30 seconds, and he does some kind of weird movement that Floyd's like, "Hey, what the hell is that?" Oh, out.
Man, why for this fight? Why did they use brawl for all rule from the WWF? That seems to me
because Floyd's not going to do that.
That seems like the best hybrid, though. It's a boxing wrestling hybrid, brawl for all.
I mean, I just wish they'd have done kickboxing. If they'd have done that, I'd be more.
Interested. I wish they
because then I think Connor.
I
would
wish
win.
They would have done pro wrestling, like they're going to do anyway. Because it's probably sick.
Hey, that's the rumor I heard. I'm not going to say where I heard that at, but I heard it's just going to be a work.
It's a work.
It's a whiz arc.
But I'm excited for that work. So, yeah. And then, Dan, I want to move on to our final topic of the evening. Jim Harbaugh don't want to play games on Friday. Why's your boy such a little bitch?
Well, I mean, the SEC doesn't play games on Friday either. Nobody who has any sense would ever want to play games on Friday. The reason why you don't want to play games on Friday is because you fuck with high school football. And the conferences and the schools that do play on Fridays are the schools that don't really have to worry about making powerful high schools mad because they're not getting any of those players anyway. So it's like, okay, yeah, put the MAC on Friday night. Because, I mean, the MAC would be happy to be on Friday. They're on Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, here's
the MAC plays at, like, Monday at 3 p.m. I don't like that the ACC does it, but, you know, you don't see, you know, the Pac-12 does it, which is par for the course for them as far as being, like, pretty dumb about, you know, about that kind of thing. You know, you do have the chance to be the only thing on national television, which I get, but it really does it really messes with your relationships with the high school coaches and the powerful high school program by putting games on a Friday.
No one's pettier than a high school football coach, especially a powerful one. He's going to remember when you scheduled a game and it screwed him over.
Yeah. Like, he didn't get all the local media at his high school game because some people were covering your college game. And he's going to remember that because, like, high school coaches have no chill. Like, whatsoever.
Especially ones in the Midwest and the South. Maybe you can get away with it over in the West Coast.
And that's the reason why the Big Ten's never played Friday games. The SEC's never played Friday games. The Big Ten has a new the Big Ten's new contract says that they can do Big Ten games on a Friday in the first, you know, the first week of the season, I believe. The high school season up there hasn't started yet. So, you know, that first week of the season, Big Ten teams are willing to play on Friday. And then you throw in that Michigan, like, there's a cultural thing at Michigan that I don't think every other program necessarily gets. Cause, like, they don't even play night games at Michigan. Like, they've got this real, you know, they have an alumni base that just does not like the idea of not playing at noon. Like, noon is when Michigan football games play. And hey, if you've got a school tradition and that's something that your alumni expect, that's something that your fans expect, that's something you've done for 100 years, why should you change it?
What I'm hearing, Dan? I'm hearing that Michigan is something pure. It's something we don't really get in college football anymore. Someone who said nay to the big money sometimes. Just keep with what's kind of cool and makes people happy. I think that's something to respect for Michigan football. How about that? My first nice thing I've ever said about Michigan football in my life.
I'm touched. My heart. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You said a nice thing about a school that's not Auburn.
It's hard. Well, because Auburn's the greatest school because we buck tradition. If everyone else does, then it doesn't make us look as cool. So, I think that's
y'all are that. Auburn is the is that kind of wild-eyed youth pastor who says it's okay if you wear jeans and say damn every now and again. See, I just said it.
But hopefully not the one that like the one they have up in Penn State.
Sure.
But I think that's it. Do we have anything else, Dan, for the show? I think we've insulted people. We've gone off the rails. we're not pretty coherent. It's been a great show. And, man, I'll tell you what, though. Hurting your back sucks. That's my FU of the week. Getting old. No one tells you about everything hurting. They just tell you that, then you take better care of yourself when you're younger.
You're like 12 years old. I don't want to hear that getting old shit.
People forget that. 29, but I look 22.
People do forget that.
Really tough.
Yeah, that's really heartbreaking.
A hardened 22, so not a pretty 22. Oh,
you look like a CZW wrestler. You just got gig marks all over your forehead. Nobody can figure out why.
That's it. So that's my FU of the week. I want to start a campaign to tell the kids getting old sucks. We don't need to sell kids a bright future. They need to know. Getting old sucks. Bullshit. Enjoy this now. Why don't we tell the kids this?
I think they have more than enough telling them that. Like, if you're a Generation Z, all you really need to do is, like, call your older brother, and they'll tell you. So, I don't know if we need to beat all hope out of them.
No, I think all hope needs to be beaten out of children, so they don't have any. And then, like, if something good happens, they really appreciate it. And they won't be mad about pulling out their back for some reason. I didn't even do anything, sure.
I hope you never get the hosting job for Reading Rainbow with this attitude.
This is bullshit, kids. Don't read.
Butterfly in the sky. Drop dead, you fucking asshole.
Oh. And that's the show. There we go.
Yep, I think so.
Next week. Oh!
I think so.
Do you want to talk any about our big... previews coming up, Dan? Gonna hype those.
We're gonna be having, you know, preview month is gonna be starting soon. We're gonna be having special guests on the show to talk about the major conferences. We're gonna have people coming on to talk about the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12. Obviously, you all know Wes Destiny. He's the third chair of the show. But we'll have different guests every week previewing the different conferences. And we'll also do a major, the minor conference preview. We'll also have that coming up. So there'll be something for everybody. There'll be something for everybody. And it'll be a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things we do. We did it last year when we didn't have the same kind of audience we have now. And I thought it was like a really fun thing we did. And I look forward to people getting to hear that.
Expanding the universe, if you will. So then we can all come together for some sort of Justice League movie. That's the plan.
I mean, I don't know how much we're expanding the universe. I'm pretty sure all our guests are going to be white, but, you know.
That's okay.
If you want to hear extra white guys talking about sports.
We don't know that. Okay, yeah, but still. We're still expanding the cinematic universe of the Power Hour. How about that? Yeah. It's a lot like The Mummy.
Yep. The Power Hour is starting its own dark universe. I'm gonna do a whole week with a bad Transylvania accent. Actually, that should be you. You're the king of bad accents. Yeah, you're just gonna do a whole week going, I want to talk about the SEC.
What if the Transylvania guys
sorry.
What if the Transylvania guy is like kind of racist though? It's like he wants to talk about Kaepernick, disrespectful.
I always hated the taste of those people's blood. They do not have the same nobility.
It's the two of spice. The Transylvania accent's just the Italian accent, and forget that. I like racist Transylvania sports guy, like Transylvanian play Travis.
I mean, he kind of already is a vampire, so go with it. Just lean into it.
Oh,
hear the sweet music, the creatures of the night. And it's just a bunch of drunk Tennessee fans falling out of their canoes in front of Neyland Stadium.
Oh, man. I want to talk about LeBron. Oh.
He graffitied his old house. It's a false flag. Clay Travis just slowly turning into Sports Info World.
Oh.
I look forward to him being absorbed into the InfoWorld's pantheon, like the same way the Prison Planet creep did. You just see, like, Clay Travis and the Prison Planet guy fighting for daddy's
attention. Oh, that'd be awesome. That's the move for Clay Travis, I think. I'd like to get in touch with his people and be like, hey, gotta merge with InfoWorld.
Grow it.
You'll be the Sports Illustrated for their Turner Empire.
Yeah, sure. And it's like, how much competition can Prison Planet guy be? He won't even leave his house. Like,
these players today, they wear their shorts too low.
I don't like the NBA. I call it ghetto ball.
They do all the show. Okay, that's it. We're done.
That's it. It's over. Jason, save us. Get us out of here, Jason. Play the music, Jason.